Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. And for all you One Final Scare listeners, Audible's offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. I've used Audible for about 2 years now for all my audiobook needs, and I'm currently listening to Mark Manson's The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, a counterintuitive approach to living a good life. It's a modern-day self-help book that tells us how to stop trying to be so positive all the time so that we can truly become better, happier people. Check it out, or you can download any other audiobook of your choice. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/onefinalscare. Again, that's audibletrial.com/onefinalscare for your free audiobook.
What's up, Tracy?
Hi, how are you?
We're here again.
We are.
Thanks for coming.
You're welcome.
All the way here to record.
You're welcome. I do make the long haul. Wondering if maybe one time we'll just pack up all the equipment. You can drive down to where I live.
Pack up the whole studio. Yeah, that's good.
The whole studio. You did get some nice new mic stands though for us. This is pretty badass.
I know. Doesn't it sound better?
Yeah, this is like a late Christmas present to me because you didn't even ask me to chip in for this. So thank you.
It's okay. I'll take the hit.
For real though, I can like buy dinner or something tonight.
Wow, it's going to be that late.
We're getting legit. So I just need people to know and visualize us. Although they can do that by checking our pictures out that you're taking of us.
Yeah, that's true. Did. Like on Instagram.
On Instagram.
One Final Scare.
Yep.
Is our and our Facebook, One Final Scare.
Yep. You can find us both on there.
Just find us there. That's it.
Just find us there.
That's it.
And then also, you know, just go ahead and find the podcast too and subscribe to us.
Yes, go find it right now.
You're finding us. You already did find us.
We are waiting for Apple to approve us.
iTunes, approve us, please.
Same thing.
I mean, by the time you're listening to this, it's already happened, but what we're doing right now is waiting for them.
Is that a fact?
Well, if people are listening to this episode, then clearly it's available to listen to. But right now, you and I are just patiently waiting and recording episodes.
Yes, please.
It's okay. Every successful podcast
gods answer
builds
our prayers.
Up. Yeah, please. Please approve us soon.
What up? If there was a podcast god, what would he or she look like? Big microphone head and...
I just immediately started picturing a big sound bar because as I was leaving tonight, Jeff was trying to figure out where to put this big ass sound bar that we have in our bedroom right now, which like never belonged in there. Like when we never use it. We never use it. And so now he wants to put this huge sound bar in like our office. Which I'm like, why? And he wants to hook it up to his computer for when he sits and plays video games. And it's killing me. I'm like, this makes no sense at all. That doesn't... I was like, get computer speakers like every other human being.
But what does it matter if it's not being used that he wants to use it?
It's not being used, so sell it. We have literally just never used it. We have a pretty decent...
I mean, how much are you going to get for the sound bar?
I don't know. He
$5?
I don't think so. It's a nice one. He spent like $300 on it a few years ago. And I'm like, come on, sell the shit. I don't know. It's just a waste of space now. But so it's funny. I'm just picturing the podcast god as being like a huge sound bar right now that's in my house and plaguing me. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's a good transition. Wait, from your house.
To your house?
Yeah, to my house.
What's happening in your house?
This, and then to this, our new next movie that we're going to talk about tonight.
Oh, really?
Shoe's Nest. Shudder's exclusive. Hey, Shudder.
Stop with the creepy. Like, you're creepy with Shudder. Just be like, Shudder, we love you. We listen to a lot of, or not listen to, we watch a lot of your movies.
Yeah, and tonight we're going to talk about their exclusive. I don't know why they call it their exclusive. It's kind of weird, right?
It's
Shrew's Nest. It's been out for 2 years, 2014, well, 3 years, I guess, now.
What do you mean, why do they call it an exclusive?
Because you can find it elsewhere.
Can you?
I think so, yeah.
I mean, it's usually like... It's exclusive to this, you know, channel or what have you, you know, like Netflix has exclusive shows that they pick up. So they kind of picked up this movie that was created in Spain in 2014, right?
2014. Yeah.
Cool. And yeah, so look, this is how you hit on Shudder to listen to us and appreciate us. Shudder. We love
Shudder.
We love.
Are we gonna do a song?
No, we love how you have all of your movies kind of bucketed into nice, cool categories. We love how there's always something good to find.
Interesting buckets,
yeah,
too.
Interesting, yeah. Buckets. And yeah, we picked this one as our fifth episode movie to watch, like as our fifth anniversary, to watch an exclusive movie that they put out.
Let's talk about how all the reviews to almost all the movies are like 5 stars or 5 skulls.
Oh my God, I know. It's like every movie is a great movie, apparently. I was like, that's because horror fans are just so nice. We find and appreciate something in every horror movie. At least I do. You're not so forgiving, but I am. It looks like a lot of people are on here too, in the reviews.
Yeah.
But this one got good. This one has a full 5 skulls on Shudder.
I think that's predicting what I would. Like Netflix ratings is like predicting.
Does it? I wasn't certain, yeah. But okay.
It's not like a collection of like what people think it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But so it has 5 skulls. It looked 5 cool. Skulls. We, the, on quick read through, it's.
You want to read it?
Oh, go ahead.
Read it? In 1950, Spain, an agoraphobic woman spends her days inside the apartment she shared with her sister, who she's raised since their mother died. But when a handsome neighbor knocks on her door seeking help after a fall, how do they pronounce it? Monty?
Monty.
Yeah, Monty dresses his wounds and set about ensuring he'll never leave her apartment either. Dun, dun, dun.
Ugh, I hate how that we just kind of gave away the whole movie.
That's just the premise of the movie that people,
I know.
Yeah, people can read. It's a big deal.
Well, you're right, though. I mean, yeah. And so when we read this, it said it's paying homage to Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and Misery, which are two awesome, awesome, awesome movies. And
it says that?
Yeah, but...
Happened to Baby Jane and Misery? Oh.
So I was all on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I remember that when we picked this to watch last time we met. And I friggin' love Misery. I just love that movie.
You love Misery?
I just love being miserable. And this, you know, so we both, I think, were texting each other this morning as we were watching it. And it was like slow start, but totally gets good.
Yeah, I mean, I was sort of, you know, when I started watching it, in the beginning, I thought it was going to be like, they look like people. Mm-hmm. So like a psychological, old school, Alfred Hitchcockian sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm Shudder. I am sorry that I thought otherwise. This is your exclusive. And I should have trusted you.
Yeah. First you texted me and you were like, this is a horror. And I'm like, do you want to stop and watch another movie? And then you were like, no, let's keep going.
Yeah.
And then you go.
I'm glad I did. Yeah.
And then you go, I'm never going to question Shudder's
again.
Shudder's movies again.
Exclusive again.
Right.
Yeah. So let's get right to it.
Let's get right to it. You love saying that.
I said it twice.
You say it every episode now.
No, I always say it twice.
So let's get right to it.
Yeah.
All right, do it. What's the list of characters? Let's run them down.
There is Monty. There is La Nina.
Or Hermana. La Nina or Hermana, which means like the girl or the sister. Okay. Oh, yeah. Really? Because the other thing said Hermana. That's so funny.
Carlos. Padre.
Yeah, okay. So I'll describe these people a little bit more.
Oh, you want to go?
Monty, you're just confused. Okay, so Monty is the older sister, and purposefully the younger sister, which, you know, her name is not Nina or Hermana. That's just the reference she's called that the entire movie. There is never a name that is put with her, which is pretty interesting. And she's the younger sister to Monty. And then Carlos is the neighbor that was described in the plot summary. And then we've got the father, Padre, who comes up too in the story. And those are pretty much the main characters. And again, there's a couple side characters that pop up throughout the movie. And we will mention those as they fall into place. So basically, we start with a flashback. and we hear a narration. And the narration, we soon find out, is the younger sister's voice, Armana or Nina. And she's talking about how when she was a little girl, her older sister used to read stories to her. And she'd pretend to fall asleep because the stories were still, they were so scary to her. They would talk about ogres and death and all this scary stuff. And she said she hated the stories so much because they were so scary that she would pretend to fall asleep, basically, so her older sister would leave her room and like let her fall asleep. Yeah. And she said every night when her sister left the bedroom, she would kind of peek at her and she'd see her crying, and she feared that the sister was sad that she learned, you know, basically that she was afraid that she knew she was pretending to fall asleep and that she was basically upsetting her. And then she kind of makes a comment that little did she know she was going to face some nightmare, is what she said.
And also what she was reading from
was
the Holy Bible.
Yeah. So all these scary stories, little kids, they're all written in the Bible.
She would read to her every night.
From the Bible.
From the Bible.
Yep. So we immediately know we're talking about a pretty religious family.
Super and religious. And then we go further back.
Yeah.
Right. And she talks about her mom passes away after having her. Mm-hmm. And it's and her and her sister are the only ones sort of like left within the father, mm-hmm. or left, and her father being away, or like, you know, it's not there most of her life, her sister took care of her, mm-hmm. Most of the time.
Yeah. And we see I think we see that the next scene is of basically her mom dead in a bed covered in flowers. And we see like three other people in the room,
people
two of which
mourning her. Yeah.
Mourning mm-hmm. the death. And, she said, you know, she wasn't there, of course, because she was born the day her mother died. Yep. And we see the father and Monsi, and Monsi's a young girl at this time, and the father is standing next to her, and he starts placing a necklace on her neck, and what he says to her is, and he had just taken it off of the dead mother, and he says, you know, this necklace has been passed down from generation to generation, and it's usually given to the daughter in the family on their wedding day, but I guess your mother's not going to see that happen. And so he kind of puts it around her neck and steps behind her, and Monsi starts crying and puts her head on his shoulder, and he goes, crying's not going to bring her back. Pretty callous, pretty stern. And
yeah,
then
he was a pretty rough father.
You could just tell he was probably not the the best dad to be with when you're mourning the loss of your mom, and then you have a little teeny sister to have to start taking care of.
Yeah.
So now we're back in the 1950s, or we're forward in time now, and being in forward in time is the 1950s, and we're in Madrid, Spain, and we're upstairs in an apartment.
Yep. And she has this disease, right? They don't really talk about it, but she can't leave the house.
Well, we don't find that out for a little bit.
They're
sewing right now. They're seamstresses and they're sewing.
Did I just forget the whole scene in the beginning? I must have been distracted.
Yeah, totally. Like, we don't know she's like this for a while.
She asks her sister to run errands for her, you remember?
Yeah, but we don't know about the agoraphobia for a while.
Oh my god. The whole the beginning.
There's
blank.
Like a main scene where we find out.
I must just disconnect myself.
Oh, okay.
Like, I must, yeah.
Well, so anyway, she, like, basically they're sewing and they're praying. So that's how we meet these two sisters, you know, in present day, which again is in the past, 1950s. And so they're sewing and they're praying together, and when they're, and you know, it's just like a nice, okay, they're working together, they're doing their thing. And and I think that's when she goes to leave, and she's going to go run errands, to your point. And and at the same time when the daughter's leaving, this woman named Doña Pori shows up. Sorry if I say that terribly, but so she shows
up. Client.
She's a client. Yep. And she's coming to have a dress fitted for her. And she makes like niceties with the younger sister, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, you're growing up." And I think like at that same time, flowers get delivered and the older sister grabs the flowers and she kind of hands there's two bouquets and she hands one of them to her younger sister before she leaves. And she goes, happy birthday. And then she takes the other set of flowers and sets them next to a picture of their mother on this, you know, table. And the younger sister says to her something along the lines of,
I never get flowers.
You never give me flowers. Yeah. And she says, is it hard celebrating my birthday on the same day that our mother? No. That's weird. How is it her birthday then? Oh, so her mom's birthday was also the same day she died?
No.
It's a little weird.
They were not celebrating, but like her birthday and like mourning her. I don't know if.
I swear she said the same day. Okay.
No, because I don't know. I think it's a cultural thing. Like in Korea.
Yeah.
Like you, I don't know. It's not celebrate, but no, it's like, yeah, you, the death of.
Yeah, you yeah, remember. Yeah. You take a moment to yeah. remember. Yeah. So she leaves, and that's when Donya Pari is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she's a woman now. She's 18. And, you know, Monsi's like, she's not an adult to me. You know, she's not an adult at all to me. So we're like, okay. You know, she clearly doesn't want her little sister to grow up. She's going to be a protective older sister, what have you.
She needs her.
She does.
One way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
Help her out.
And
around the house.
And I think Donya Pori's like, she's going to meet boys, and that kind of is a little unsettling to Monsi to hear.
Her personality just changes when she mentions that.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And at this point,
because when she leaves the house, she catches her with a boy in the window.
It's later again. You totally did not watch like the first 15 minutes, I think. So that didn't happen yet, but okay, it's fine. Whatever. We don't need to tell things in order. Well, anyway, so she has this whole exchange with Donya Pori, and she's like Donya Pori gives her these little like oil bottles. And so they're talking in front of a mirror for a really long time as she's fitting her. And she's like basically explaining this oil to her and how to use it. And Monsi is like, oh, it's really been helping me. Thank you so much. And she's like, just make sure you only put it in your water this amount per day and take it, you know, this then. You don't really know what the hell this oil is or why she's taking it, but apparently it's helping her for something. And then Donya Pori, like you can tell she's a longtime client and she clearly cares about Monsi. And she goes, I really wish you would speak to my husband. He can really help you. Again, we don't really know what you know now because Minky told you she's agoraphobic, but she's like, I know. Yeah. But in the movie, if you don't know, she's like, let my husband help you. And there's a surgery. And there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to help. And you can tell Monsi's like, just give me this oil. And then she's also like, when are you going to, you're such a good seamstress. When are you going to get out of here and go start your own business somewhere? And she's like, you know, I think what I have going on here is fine. And she's like, well, fine. You have a big flat. Like, why don't you start a real business? I'll be your benefactor. You know, start your thing. And she's really kind. And so anyway, she's like, when can I come back and pick up my dress? And I think she says something like 2 weeks. So she marks it on the calendar. So we know Donya Pori is going to come back at some point. You know, we now know, you know, at some point they're going to, Ermana, the younger sister, is going to come back and you'd think that they'd be celebrating, you know, her birthday together. But instead, Monsi, after Donya Pori goes away, she starts taking some oils and,
mixes it with water.
She mixes it with water.
And she drinks it. Yeah.
And did she, I think
she like passes out.
She passes mm-hmm. out. And, I'm pretty sure it's because she started having like, did she have a vision here?
She falls asleep and she has a dream.
She has a dream. That's right.
She has a dream about her. And then like the door in her bedroom, she wakes, well, in her dream, the door starts to open slowly and you get this like ominous music and this man appears and walks into the room.
And this is our second time seeing Padre. Yeah. This is her dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's her dad.
And, you know. And like the scene is flipping at the same time that she's having this dream, I think. And Ermana has just come home and she sees her sister like passed out and she's like, oh, great. Now I got to go have dinner at this table by myself. And there's like this sad cake with one candle in it. And it says Feliz Cumpleaños. Yeah. And it's like they're not going to clearly have dinner together. It's pretty sad. And then meanwhile, Monsi's having this dream or nightmare.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and this figure, this, as we know, we find out it's her father. And he says, you didn't visit me again this year.
You didn't go to the cemetery
again this year.
For your mother.
Yeah.
He's like, how dare you? You didn't go to the cemetery to see your mom.
Yeah.
And so then...
And she's like, no. She wakes up.
Right. So she's screaming and crying. And at this point, Ermana, I guess, sad that her sister just totally like was a dick and left her alone on her birthday. She left and she kind of snuck out. And then at this point, Monsi wakes up and, you know, she's kind of...
Groggy.
Upset. And she looks out of the window. And when she looks out of the window, that's when she sees her little sister kissing a boy in the, at nighttime. And she, this is when we're like, oh, Monsi's got a little.
She tries to kiss her. And she likes her, like, coy, like, backs away. Yeah,
but whatever. Monsi gets fucking pissed.
I know.
She starts yanking on her curtains like a crazy bitch.
And that was weird to me. Like, because every time, like, he made a move, he did something, she pulled it once, like, off the ring.
Yeah.
And he did something again. He was like, boom.
Yeah.
Boom. It was, like, sort of choreographed.
Knocked something off.
Yeah, it was, like, choreographed. I was like, what the
hell? Right, right.
It's sort of weird.
So, so she's not having it. So one, we saw like when Danya Puri was talking about it, she was like a little upset, but now we're like, oh shoot. she's a feisty little woman.
Why is she upset, right?
Why is she upset?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll tell you later.
Well, we know at that point that she's somewhat, we begin to guess like that she's somewhat helpless.
Well, and she's a religious fanatic. Yeah. They were praying the whole time. They're sewing.
But she's mentioned something about like how she has, like her sister helps out with a lot of things at the store, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Monsi needs her in her life.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. She doesn't want her going anywhere. Well, she needs her to make runs if she can't like go outside. But again, the viewers don't really technically know this yet, but you're about to find out.
But they have,
what?
Go ahead. But they leave enough breadcrumbs to that point. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, something's going on.
Yeah. Okay. So her sister comes back inside.
Yeah. Okay. Let me go back to my notes.
Let me go back to my notes since clearly you were. You did take notes this time, though. That's good. So basically her sister comes back inside.
I'm cutting that out. How dare you talk to me this way?
Oh, my God. Oh, we're sorry, people. Back and forth. All right, back at it. Ready? So Monsi starts chastising her about men and their desires, and she's just like letting it loose, and she's like going
off. They're up. You know what? They only want one thing.
Yeah.
You know, blah blah blah.
Trust me. Like
I know.
They never have good intentions. Yeah. And she makes her get down on her knees, so you can tell that this has happened before.
Right. That's what I said too. But there were no wounds though on her hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know there would have been, but she makes her get down on her knees and put her hands out, like palm facing up, and
she doesn't question it.
She doesn't question it.
Yeah. So you automatically think, well, okay, this has happened
before. And then and she's got this little like black whip in her hands, and every time she says a sentence,
switch is what they call it.
And so every time she says something to the younger sister, she like beats her hands, and they immediately are bleeding. So she's punishing her.
It's our first blood drawn in the movie.
Yeah, you know, it's just a sad part of Catholicism, I guess. It's like this.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Yeah. So she's doing this the whole time, and she's saying like, I don't know. She's just trying to get it in her head that no man's ever gonna like.
They just want one
be
thing,
good. Yeah, and the whole time,
and
I think
when they're done, though.
Spit you out. And Ermana is looking at her, and she's got this look of disgust in her face, and she's like, you know what? I bet you no man would ever hurt me as much as you hurt me. And so all of a sudden Monsi fucking smacks her in her face with that switch, and she starts bleeding across the face. And I mean, at this point we're only, I don't know how many minutes in, but not that many. It's taken us longer to get here than it did in the real movie, but she fucking grabs an iron and beats her sister in the head with it to like get away from her, because all hell breaks loose after she, you know, says what she says back to her. Like,
I don't know how any man can hurt me more than you.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
I talked over. I know you said it.
Okay.
But I talked over it.
Okay, got it.
That's not what I said again.
So her face is bleeding. She's running away. The Monsi's head is completely gushing. Her whole face is covered in blood. I was like, damn, we're getting right into it. And then this is when we find out she's got really agoraphobia. So she, when Ermana runs out of the door, she knows all she's got to do is get out of that door. And she's like fighting with the, what's that lock called? The chain lock?
So yeah, it's chain lock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she unlocks the door and she forgets that there's a chain lock on, which plays a part in the story like so many times.
Did you notice that? Okay, go on, keep going.
So, and then she unlocks the chain lock and she finally gets out and her sister's running behind her just at this moment in time. And it's as if there's a force field. And that's when I was like, oh, damn. And she looks, it's cool. She like looks at the entire doorway.
I don't know anything about the disease. Like, does it work like that? I mean, I thought it was like, this is a little too extreme. Like, yeah.
I don't think it's that. I think it is like that.
That extreme. Like,
yeah.
It's like,
the way she
looked at, like she looked around.
This is a boundary that she does not go near. Yeah. Clearly she's not been outside in a very long time.
Yeah. And not even the hallway of her apartment building.
Yeah. So she looks at the up and over and down, and then she looks at her sister like, you won. And she just slowly shuts the door. And I was like, oh, really? what happens from here? You know,
she passes out
and
no. Yeah.
Little sister sleeping in the hallway with blood on her face and hands. And, that's when we see two nice looking men walking up the steps and,
Drunk, right?
Yeah. Well, the one man's like, you're drunk. And they're just having this like kind of argument about, the friend is telling his other friend, look, you can't do what you're saying you're going to do. And they don't tell us what
they're being very vague about.
Vague on purpose. And he's like, you can't do it. You'll ruin your life. And he's like, you just wait and see. Like, it's not going to ruin my life. I need to do this. And he's like, you're a fool. And the second he says this, it's like, look, there's a girl lying on the ground right here. The one guy who we find out later is Carlos, one of the main characters, he squats down and he goes, see, this is the kind of girl I should be with. Look at her. And the guy goes, she's a little young for you, right? And he's like, whatever, she's beautiful, something. And so they start arguing back and forth again. And he goes, look, I'm going to take this trip, whether you think I should or not. And then he goes, I'm heading upstairs, put a blanket on this beauty. And so then, the guy just kind of shakes his head and follows him upstairs.
What did you think of that scene? Did you think that leaving something out again, like for us to sort of... it felt like they were trying to add another like element, a surprise element, I thought that was a little too much. They were just like, okay, there's something else that's going on outside of this.
This scene
just kept piling it on.
This scene had to happen so that there was some connection
between
Carlos and the younger sister later that comes out later. Yeah. But it was a weird scene.
Yeah. And to be so like... vague about
they could have just passed
about.
By like yeah. in the hallway
absolutely.
In another scene
absolutely yeah. yeah
you're right so basically what happened so we see that Hermana wakes up basically with a blanket on her
blanket
so
on
we know
her,
they
yeah.
did that, put a blanket on her and all of a sudden the door just starts slowly opening and so she comes back inside and they both of the sisters
breakfast.
Yep yeah. awkwardly yeah. and she immediately just says like, can you please forgive me for last night? And she just she goes, I really need you to forgive me. And Hermana just slowly and just very subtly shakes her head yes, and then she gets up to walk away and she goes, but apologizing, you can't apologize for everything all the time.
You know, at that scene, I thought that was sort of, maybe I'm looking into it, was like, maybe like talking about religion and Catholicism, like how you can just go and apologize and repent for your sins
yeah.
and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's so used to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's like, no matter what I did to you, as long as you forgive me, then
right.
it's like it's done.
Yeah.
But that's not true in real life.
It's
like,
not at all.
You damaged your sister.
Yeah.
Like she's like afraid, angry now at
yeah.
you. And she may leave you.
Well, you beat her.
Yeah. And it possibly this is a regular occurrence.
Oh, it's absolutely a regular occurrence. And that's why she says you can't always just apologize for everything.
Yeah.
So we know she's an asshole to her sister and she hates it. So she walks away. And when Monsi's head turns back across the table where her little sister was just sitting, she sees another vision of her father. And what she also sees is a smaller version of herself standing behind her dad asking for money to buy some things for the house. And the dad's
she's hallucinating regularly.
Yeah. So, and the dad says something like, you don't need money. You need to take care of the girl.
Yeah.
So we know like she's always been in charge of taking care of her little sister with little else. Honestly, it just came to my mind. I mean, she said she needed to like run out and get things. So it's like if he never let her go out that was probably the beginning of her agoraphobia, just being locked away, taking care of her little sister this entire time. So, you know, whenever Monsi has thoughts about her dad, she clearly goes and takes some oil, whatever the fuck this oil is. And she's crying, like furiously crying. She lays down on the bed and, Monsi leaves for work or whatever. The little sister leaves for work and Monsi's in bed. And while she's in bed, she starts hearing a bang on the door.
Boom, boom, boom.
And who it is
Carlos.
And he's banging on the door. She opens it up with the chain lock still on, and his arm falls into the apartment, and he's like, please help me. I fell down the steps. I need your help. I can't move. And she just starts trying to fucking shut the door on his arm. Like, she's just panicked. And she's just like hitting it and beating it. And then she like picks it up gently, like you're picking up, I don't know, like a turd. she did not want to touch it, throws it out, shuts his head on the door. And then she turns around to see a big, huge picture of Jesus. And, it's, you know,
like, what would Jesus do moment?
Well, and this photo, forgive me, religious fans who probably would know exactly what scene this is, but Jesus has his hands down reaching out to somebody in need. And so she's like, oh, for crying out loud, like, I gotta help him. You know, what would Jesus do? Okay, he's gonna help this guy. So she's like frustratingly opening the door. She's like trying to pull him in without putting any inch of her body over the door, you know, walkway, if you will, because again, she doesn't want to go outside at all. And then she grabs like a broom to try to pull in his suitcase and that had fallen open because again, we heard that he was going to go on this trip that his friend didn't want him to go on. So she's like reaching and she's like exhausted and exasperated and she's like trying to get everything in this
house. How
funny
is that? Like he tripped down the stairs.
I know.
Still hungover.
Have a nice trip. Yeah, see you still next hungover. Fall.
And then like he like drops the suitcase. It just pops open and his clothes are everywhere.
Like, right.
It wasn't even that much. It was like.
No.
Two pair of pants and a shirt.
Right. And so when he fell, he like really broke his leg and there's blood. And so there was blood on his clothes. And I guess she went and put his stuff in the hamper. And then she's like, grabs a big carpet, drags his body, puts it into a spare bedroom, gets them all laid out. And he's like passed the fuck out. Like he's out. So she shuts him in the door and Armando comes home. And Monsi is like clearly nervous. And then she's like, I'm going to go get in the bathtub. And Monsi's like, great, good idea.
No, she's like, do you want some lunch? I can make some lunch. And she's surprised that like
the lunch wasn't made.
Yeah.
Right. She wasn't getting her shit done.
Well, it's like, it's outside like her schedule. She's like very like organized and it's weird that she's like something's up. She goes to get in
the shower. She goes to like put her clothes in the hamper and she sees this man's shirt with blood on it. And she comes out like, what the fuck is this?
But before that, she gets a scrub to wash her body and like she washes it in the water and there's like blood coming out of it. And she's like, she freaks out.
Oh yeah.
Because remember, because Monsi used that same scrub to clean up the blood.
So she runs in and she hands her the shirt and Monsi's like forced to show her that there's this man laying in this bedroom. So she opens up the door and she's like, we're only going to keep him here until he wakes up. He needed help and I had to help him. And then, you know, you think like, okay. And then Monsi's kind of
she
like,
Armana
said, what did you do to this guy? And Monsi goes, I didn't do this. I promise. Like I did not do this. So it's like Armana has such fear of her sister that she would actually think maybe she did something to this guy to get him in here or something. Who knows? But she was definitely like, what did you do to him? And she asked her this twice. And so basically she's like, I swear to God, he fell down the stairs and I just pulled him in because he needed help. And then she goes like this, and you listen to me when I tell you this. You're not going to tell a soul about him being here. And she goes, you get to come and go whenever you want. But this time, if you go and you tell somebody, I can lock the door on your ass and you'll never come back in.
Yeah.
So very threatening.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's later that night, but Armana, she wakes up in the middle of the night. And again, we hear her narration kind of saying, living in a house with someone with, you know, agoraphobia, basically her sister knows every step she's taking. She always knows every place she's going within the house. And you have to be very smart about when to sneak around.
At this point, I was just kind of guessing like what is she going to do to him and like, what's her motive? And I thought that she was prepping him to like replace the daughter. I mean, not daughter, but sister, right? Mm-hmm. And that like she like obviously like the sister is not it's being defiant slowly.
Yeah.
So she's like, I need to replace. That's how I thought she was going. Like,
right.
Yeah, with
right.
this man. Yeah, with this man.
So Ermanna is basically sneaking down the hallway to go check on this guy. And she sneaks in there and she's in like her nightgown. I was like, oh. 1950s. She is a little, she's like living on the wild side, huh? So she walks right in and she's curious.
Yeah.
And he says like, I've seen you before. And she goes, oh, were you the one that put the blanket on me? And he says, yes. And he said, and he says, my name's Carlos. And again, she doesn't say her name. And he just says, you were the prettiest thing I had ever seen at that moment. Yeah. And
now she's like,
what?
She's flattered.
She's flattered. Right?
And this is all happening in the middle of the night. Like, in his bedroom, this guest bedroom,
and
they're having this like sort of moment,
yeah,
right.
But guess who else wants to have a moment?
Monty. So and she like, walks in.
Well, she's like first she's like, yeah, she hides under the bed, or she like dives under the bed, and Carlos makes a face like, what the fuck? And Monty walks in like, hey, I heard your voice. Are you like, were you talking out loud? And he goes, oh, I must have been talking while I was in my sleep. My leg hurts pretty bad. And she goes, here. Oh, no, she doesn't yet. No. So she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm really sorry. And he goes, it's okay. I fall back asleep easily. He's trying to get her out. And so she leaves. And then the little sister climbs up out of the bedroom or the bed. And they start talking a little bit again. And then the door opens again. And she just like flies back up against the wall behind the door.
What was she? No, she's like, she goes, you need to get out of here.
Like, she's trying to warn him.
Yeah, you need to get out of here. Da, da, da. And he goes, are you going to come back tomorrow night? And she goes,
If you're still here, you shouldn't be here.
But if you are,
I'll come back. So
they're both smiling, and she like turns around. She tries to go out the door, and she sees the door handle turn.
Right.
That was a really cool detail.
Cool.
You love, yeah.
It was cool.
And then that's when she ducks.
So she dives behind the door, and Monsi's like. I mean, we haven't described her mannerisms yet. We know it so well because we watched it. But she is a fantastic actress. I mean, the woman playing her,
yes.
Macarena Gomez. She
Macarena Gomez.
Yeah, I think that's her name. She why? Okay, so she is like very timid and kind of, you know, fumbly. She's always got her hands up around her neck near her necklace, kind of just nervous Nelly. And you can tell she just really wants to come in and check on him and be a kind like hostess, if you will.
But
and
comes off so creepy.
It is kind of a little creepy. But when she comes in, at this point, she's got water and she says, here, drink this water. It's been prayed over. And he goes, so it's a holy water? And she goes, yeah, let's call it holy water. And really what we know now, she's putting our oils in this water, whatever
and
the oils are.
And the hint the movie gives, it's they use the same cup. And they actually rack focus. When she like puts it on next to him, it like rack focuses onto the cup.
Yeah.
So you know right away something's up.
Right.
Something's in there, yeah.
So
oil is in there.
The oil, right. Essential oils. It was a big thing back in the 1950s. Came back again recently. Just kidding. So anyway, she leaves the room. The little sister then like sneaks down. Oh, no. She sneaks behind her. Right. She sneaks behind Monty as she's standing there. Runs down the hallway.
By the way, just to give you context, this apartment is shaped like an oval shape, like a U shape or oval shape. That like there's two hallways, right? That's like running parallel, and there are rooms that are joining the whole the hallway. Mm. So if she's running down one hallway, she can hide in the next one.
Mm.
Just
it's an easy place. It's long hallways too.
Yeah.
It's like this is a big ass apartment. Let's see. The next day, she calls Dania Pori, and she's like, hey, I'm going to take you up on your husband's help. Like, can I take you up on that? And she's like, sure. Oh, I'm so glad you called to say that. Like, call him. I'm going to have him call you right after he gets out of surgery.
But Monty has this renewed
and this is why.
For life.
Right.
You know, because Carlos is there.
She wants to get help.
Yeah. And so she wants to get better.
Yeah.
She wants to, you know, change her life around.
Yeah.
It's pretty actually a silly moment. Like, in the movie, right before.
I don't think it's silly. I mean, this is like, oh, now she has something to make a change for, you know?
When I say silly, I just meant like, as a viewer, like, you know, it's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. And this is just a stopping point before it gets even worse. And you can tell it's coming. And this is silly, just a distraction. Well,
there has to be like it's been pretty dark so far. I mean, the fact that she hits her sister and her sister beats her in the head. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, maybe something can be on the up and up. This is literally the highest point in the movie. It's the brightest moment in the movie.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So she's kind of happy and the husband calls her and he's like, here are some exercises I want you to do. And you can hear him talking on the phone and he's like, look, open up the door and walk out like two steps and just stand there as long as you possibly can. And she's like, okay. And she seems pretty positive about the directions he's giving her. And as I said, that was the brightest moment because it doesn't work so well for her.
It's tough, right?
It is so tough, yeah. You know? But she tries.
She tries.
She walks outside and she just starts panic attack is hitting her and she runs inside the house and she vomits.
She does an amazing job here.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she goes out, she starts to hold her chest.
Yeah.
You can clearly tell she's having like heart palpitations and, you know, and then she collapses and crawls back and she like throws up.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good, like, she does a really amazing job.
Uh-huh.
The actress.
Totally.
Yeah.
Through the entire movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm so with it the whole time. When she's angry.
So with it the whole time because in the beginning I wasn't.
I mean, her acting. Oh, yeah. Are you serious? Like, yeah. If she was sad, I was sad. If she was angry, I felt it. When she was frightened, I mean, it was so believable.
Her eyes are so big.
God.
Are very expressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'd get like red as if, you know, I mean, just all of it when she was crying. I mean, it was so believable. Yeah. So well done. But anyway, so she fails at her first. Well, I mean, look,
she's hopeful. She's optimistic.
She was
right?
Because yeah. the next scene is Mansi and her sister sitting at the table and she kind of tells her, I tried to go out today and she's almost making light of it. Like it didn't go so well for me, but I'm going to keep trying. And, her sister is kind of like, oh damn. Like I can't believe you were trying to do this. And, you're right. Like she still took it as a positive, which is great. Yeah. And that's true. Like, first steps in something difficult are always going to be hard. And so I think she's deciding she's going to try to stick with it no matter how hard it's going to be. So that night she's feeling clearly a bit better about herself and she starts getting ready and she starts putting makeup on her face and she's sitting in the, she's sitting at her vanity and she's starting to put all this makeup on and her dad is behind her again.
Pierce.
And he's basically mocking her and he's calling her a clown.
You look like a clown.
And he said something like, your mother was always so beautiful, like naturally beautiful.
And his lines here has a lot of weight because now as a viewer, we begin to wonder, oh shit, like something, he's done something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I inferred that just yet, but
I actually wrote on my notes, like possible sexual victim or something like that. Like, and cause the way he says, like, I always like, something about like how she looks so much like her mom and that he wants her to look like
and
her.
Not wear makeup like her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's being,
and his delivery was really creepy too.
Well, and it affected her greatly because then she starts like rubbing her face really just horribly like rough. And then she just starts crying.
Yeah.
And so I think, while she's trying to plan a visit to go and see Carlos in his room, she decides against it. And meanwhile, Hermana is putting on a dress. And I think I'm pretty sure they were trying to make us think like maybe Mansi was still putting on a dress. But then when the, camera like shows the person in the closet finding a dress, it is actually Hermana and not Mansi. So she puts on this beautiful dress and she goes to see Carlos. And he tells her he's glad to see her.
She looks beautiful.
She looks beautiful as ever. He's actually happy to be here. And she's like, well, I told you you need to get out. And he's like, listen, I was running away from something. And again, he still doesn't tell us what. He says, but this kind of worked out perfectly for me. Like I was running away and I can be here and I'm basically in hiding and I'm fine here. Let me just, it's fine.
And isn't this where he says, she asks him like, hey, so how's your leg? He goes, it's fine. Like whatever your mom's giving me is making me feel better. Da, da, da.
Your sister.
Oh, I mean, whatever your sister's giving me is making me feel better.
Right.
And then that's when she like pulls the blanket up a little bit and sees his leg and you can tell it's not getting any better.
Right. And right.
it's actually getting darker, right? I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
Oh, because at this point, it's like, it's not just a little casual conversation. I think she's saying like, no, you don't understand. She's really, really dangerous. And then he goes, well, she said that a doctor came the very first day when I was passed out. And she goes, the doctor never came. Yeah. And he goes, well, I asked her if she'd call. Well, but she told me she doesn't have you guys don't have a phone. And she goes, we have a phone. So there's definitely a turn here where it's like, oh, the sister's been lying.
Yeah.
And then, I think all of a sudden, all of the oil in his water starts to hit him, or maybe the pain of his leg does, but he starts to kind of go a little bit crazy.
Yeah, it's the pain.
And he's grabbing Irmana's face, and he starts saying, I'm sorry, forgive me, Elisa. And we're like, who the fuck is Elisa? Because it's not Irmana's name, to our knowledge. And he just starts, and because he starts saying it louder and louder, Irmana knows she's got to get out.
She has to get out.
And she runs.
The door.
And so she runs really fast down the hallway and hides, and because Monsi can hear him screaming, and she comes in, and he's just like flailing around at this point, writhing around in pain, And then
transitions to the next day. And then you find out that Monsi has slept next to him, like on the floor.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. So Monsi calls Doña the next day, Doña Pori, for more oil. And she literally is like, I need more than what you normally give me. And she goes, honey, you got to really be careful with this stuff. And she goes, no, I'm good. Like, I just need more than what you've ever given me. And she goes, you know, my husband and I are really running a risk by giving you this. And she's like, whatever you need to do, I understand. Just please give it to me. She's pleading, and she's like, fine, I'll do it for you because I care about you. And she's like, as a swap, will you sew a dress for my niece who's getting married, like a wedding dress? Will you make a dress for her? And she's like, sure, it's all on me. Like, I'll like bring your niece.
You're close, but like, she offers it. She goes, I'll do it for free.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, great deal. Like, we'll go risk everything and get you that morphine since you will get a free wedding dress. Or, oh shit.
It's morphine. The Surprise. Oil is morphine.
Duh, I'm pretty sure you knew this by now. We probably already said it. So at this point, she hangs up the phone, and then we see a couple cops and this beautiful blonde woman walking up the stairs to this apartment complex, and they're talking about...
No. So this is when Carlos, she takes the keys from Carlos, right?
Because Carlos is awake, and he goes, will you do me a favor and go upstairs in my apartment and go get me some books? And what else does he ask for? Like a couple things.
So, yeah, and then she goes up there. She's about to like...
No. He gives them to Monsi. Monsi at some point gives them to Irmana. Irmana leaves. She can't go out of the apartment.
Irmana takes it, right?
Huh?
I think she takes it.
No, Monsi... He gives them to Monsi, I believe, at some point.
No, he does give it to Monsi.
Yeah.
But like she's like, what are you doing with his keys? And she says, he wants me to go get the books upstairs, da da da.
So go do this for me.
And then she gets, and she's, I can't go out of the,
Right.
Da, da, da. But she takes it. I think she takes it. Like,
this happened a little earlier in the movie.
It does.
Because it was before, obviously, Irmana was just in the bedroom the night before, like really kind of telling him how awful she is.
I think another thing, it's a little detail that we might have left out. We see the boyfriend, not her boyfriend, but her like guy friend, and they're outside the
kissing
window.
Kissing again.
No, he's breaking up. She broke up with him.
Yeah.
Because now she likes Carlos.
She likes Carlos, yeah. Okay, so back to it. After she hangs up the phone, Doña, the cops do come looking in and or come looking for Carlos, basically.
Yeah, because he's been missing for like 3 days or something.
Yeah. And so Monsi runs in and tells Carlos to like be quiet, I think, right? No?
No, because he doesn't know.
Oh, right. No, you're right.
He doesn't know.
Well, so the cops are like, they go up to Carlos's apartment, I think, first.
They go in.
And like Elisa goes in, but then the cops go downstairs to go question like all the neighbors basically in the apartment complex. And so, of course, they knock on Monsi's door. And so Monsi opens it right after she gets off the phone with Doña Pori. And so when she opens up the door, they're like, do you know your neighbor, Carlos? And she's like, nope, never heard of him before. Never see him. And they're like, you don't ever see your neighbor? She's like, nope. and so while this is happening, the camera switches to inside of Carlos's apartment where Irmana is in there because, again, Monsi gave her the key to go and get some books. But then we also see Elisa, whoever Elisa is, the blonde, tall, beautiful blonde, in this apartment too.
This happens later.
No, it does not. I swear to God. So at this moment in time,
because she goes up there twice, right?
I don't know. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Okay. Look, all I'm saying is, so she's like, cops, I don't know him, bye. So she shuts the door. She does go back and starts talking to Carlos here. And that's when Carlos goes, look, I'm not an idiot. I know it's morphine you're giving me. And then they have this really deep conversation and she's delivering this through shaky, you know, tone and very nervousness, but she's kind of basically, I think, laying it out there how she feels about him. And in so many words, he rejects her. Yeah. And she runs away crying and she runs into her room and shuts the door. Now she's kind of like standing up against the doorway. She has a vision of her dad and her dad is ridiculing the shit out of her. And he's like, oh, look at you. You're even rejected by a cripple. It's really ugly and sad. And like I said, meanwhile, Armand is still upstairs and the camera flips back there again. And that's when Elisa,
piano, remember? Right. And this was a weird part because Elisa walks by and doesn't see Armana like playing with the piano or looking around the house.
And Armana doesn't see her.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, how did nobody hear the door open or come in?
It's when she like hits the keys on the key, on the piano. And then Elisa is like, who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing here? And she kind of, you know, Carlos told me to come here and get the book. Where is he? Where is that? She takes the key. She goes, give me the key.
She goes, he's downstairs in my apartment.
And then she goes, come with me.
And she goes, no, I'm not going with you. You go.
Right.
And she says, who are you? And she goes, I should be his wife. I'm his fiance.
Right. And she takes his, this is the part that I want to talk to you about. Like, it's just kind of funny because I don't know the culture. She takes the keys and then she locks her in the apartment from the outside. Like the lock works from the outside where she locks her in. And this is like the second time that happened. There's the door downstairs also locks from the outside. Mm. Like, so if you're inside, you can't get out. Did you notice that? I was like, what? There were a lot of doors that you can lock from one.
Elisa locks Armana in the Carlos's apartment?
Yeah, she like locks it. And she closes the door and she looks at her and she locks her in.
That's weird.
So she can't like escape or whatever.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Then a second later, the cops come and they find her in the apartment. So how would the cops have gotten in?
He had a key. He opens
it. The cop
did? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he opens it and he goes in.
All right. So Elisa walks downstairs and she walks into the apartment or she knocks on the door and Monsi opens the door. And remember, she just left Carlos crying and she's all upset about the rejection. And she opens the door to find Elisa there. And she's like, where's Carlos? I know he's in here. And she's just coming into the apartment. And Monsi's like, what the, like, don't you walk into my place?
Yeah,
and she's like, I'll leave the second I grab my husband and get out of here with him.
Yeah.
And
she goes in the room. She opens the door.
Don't you dare go through my house. And look, I love it. She goes like this. The line was, Carlos, the party's over. Come on. So she must think he's like, you know, left her for another one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And alarmingly, when she opens the door, or she's alarmed to find that Carlos is like in this bed, you know, and she screams, and Monsi comes over.
She grabs the cross,
a huge, huge metal cross, like a decorative piece. I can't.
And she she like sticks it right
in her neck. So much blood.
And Carlos sees it.
Carlos is freaking out. He's like, no. Like,
murder,
what are you doing?
Murder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He starts to scream, which is like, you know, what anyone would do, right?
Yeah.
To get someone's attention. He goes, murder. And then Monsi jumps up and takes his head and bangs it against the back of the
bedboard.
Yeah. And then knocks him out.
Yep. And then she's like, okay, gotta deal with this conundrum here, right?
She drags the body into the kitchen.
She drags the body. I thought it was a bathroom, but yeah, it was somewhere.
Maybe it was a bathroom.
She's walking around the house trying to find a saw.
Yeah.
So she finds a saw and we know what's coming next.
Well, and the father.
Father's following her around the house,
and
she's
he's antagonizing her, right?
He says something like, "I love seeing you right before the storm."
Like, I love it when you're just excited or something.
And
like,
what are you going to do from here? Yeah. You know. So she goes in, and she just like, and we're watching her from I think behind, like
down the hallway. We watch her, sawing her legs,
and then she's like. Continuously cutting up, you know, body parts, I guess. And then It's like, so then Carlos wakes up, comes to, yeah, and he, his leg, by the way, we should have said, this is where it totally is misery. Like where Kathy Bates has,
the boards,
you know, like the guy's leg totally strapped down, and it's basically from the thigh now all the way down to his foot. It's purple, black, and blue. It's bad news, it's bears.
At this point, he's getting gangrene, right?
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's trying desperately.
He's in pain. He can't even get up. He's like.
But he's got to untie these ties and get his fucking broke ass foot and leg out from underneath of this, and it's so painful. So he gets out of it, and he slides down onto the ground. He has to crawl through his fiance's blood, and he's crawling all the way through the house, and he gets to the door. Yeah. And like I said earlier, that fucking chain lock comes into play a few times, because since he can't stand up, he can't reach the chain lock.
This was a really, I wrote a note here. It's a really amazing scene, because they create this tension where, like, he's trying to reach for the lock to unlock the door without making any noise. And
he can see her from behind in the bathroom.
Down the hallway, you see
cutting
her
up his fiance's body.
She's like cutting some, you know, fiance's body.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she, like, it's like seeing an animal, like, going, like, just attacking another animal. And all of a sudden, she, like, stops.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets up.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh, he's caught. But then she goes out of the frame to get something else.
And then he goes to reach for the lock. Yeah. And then, then she turns the corner.
It. Yeah, he opens it, and it's like...
But then she pops in.
Yeah. Well, no, it's the chain that, you know... He gets the lock. You're like, yes.
I know, but the second he does that, then you see her back, and she's just staring straight at him, like from the bathroom door. And you're like, fuck, like, come on, get out of there. Because the whole time you're like, all you know that if he can just get right out of the threshold of the doorway, he's safe. But he doesn't. And so then she's like, she runs down the hallway.
Okay.
What?
She runs down the hallway because she hears a chain lock.
She sees him. It doesn't matter.
No.
I swear to God. Okay.
No, dude. The reason, like, she goes away, he opens the door, and then the chain lock, we see
I
a chain
it.
Lock.
We established that.
I know, but that sound is what makes her come to him. It's not because she sees him.
I understand.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the second that happens, she sees him down the hallway, and she starts running towards him, and he has the door open. Whatever, we're saying the same thing.
No, we're not.
We are. Oh, my God. She stepped out of the scene, the chain unlocks, she hears him, she comes down the hallway.
Chain doesn't unlock.
He gets the door open. The chain is like pulling.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Edit this out. Jesus God, our listeners are like, get past it, you guys.
Awesome.
All of a sudden everything that ever happens after this, we don't see until Armana comes home. And this was my favorite line in the movie. Armana looks at Monsi and she goes, "Hey, how was your day?" And Monsi goes, hectic.
Hectic, yeah.
And so, like, we have no blood on the floors. We don't know what she's done.
Up, yeah.
And the sister is, like, kind of looking around because she knows that Elisa came down to the apartment. Oh, and we missed it. So, like, yeah, the cops let her out of the apartment.
Yeah.
And so she's, like, kind of walking around the house, and Monsi wants to tell her something. And part of it, her dad's vision, when she was having visions of her dad, when she was going through everything she was going through, the dad's like, you're such a coward, you're never going to tell her. You're never going to tell her, are
girl.
You?
Tell
the girl. And so you don't know what she's supposed to tell her. But so Monsi brings her into the bedroom, Monsi's bedroom, and she sits her down on the bed. And actually, no, it's probably her old bedroom or something, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's one of the bedrooms in the house, and they're sitting on the bed, and the sisters begin to have a heart-to-heart. And Monsi says, "I really need to tell you something." And she goes, "And I want you to just listen to everything, and then you say what you have to say." And basically she's like, throughout the movie, whenever Papa comes up, they talk about how he ran away soon after their mother's death. So right now she's about to tell her the real truth. So she's like, Papa didn't run away.
Most
of the truth. She's like, Papa didn't run away. After Mama died, like, things got terrible. And she's like, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep. And she said he got sick with love.
I'm sorry, for a horror movie, this broke my heart.
Like, yeah, this was terrible.
Scene, yeah.
This was the hardest scene to watch.
Yeah.
Probably. And that's because she starts really getting very, very upset. And she said he tried to remember Mama in every way he could, even even in ways like within his eldest daughter. And she's crying at this point really hard. And she says, I don't know. He must have just confused me with her. I don't know. And basically, Ermanna kind of looks behind her. This is just so creepy and sad. But Ermanna like looks behind her sister's back because they're sitting on the very bed that she knows. She's now inferring what her sister's telling her.
Yeah.
And as she's looking at the bed and imagining what must have happened, the viewers actually see it. And this was a really cool scene in that they have a little girl, the little Monsi actress, on her back, and the dad crawls on top of her, and he is definitely raping her. And you hear the kind of moans and groans while these two are sitting in front of them on the bed. And so, you know, the whole time she's telling her kind of what happened. And then she tells her, that's when I think she says, and this was just really sad too, and this is why that first scene was so important. She goes, whenever I read the book to you, the Bible, every night, I was trying to get you to fall asleep quickly so that you wouldn't hear basically what was happening in this room. And so...
And I mean, that's... That was hard. It was hard. She started to cry, and they're both crying, and it's just like...
Yeah. And as a viewer watching this, it's like, okay, you have moments of like, this woman is batshit crazy. I hate her.
And she's trapped in this house.
But now you're like so sad for her.
Can you leave this house? Like, that these things have happened. Like, these horrible things has, you know, happened in this house, and she can't even leave.
And you're like, of course she's terror. Nuts. Yeah.
She can't leave like this past behind.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
she's terrifying her like every night.
And then she goes on to keep telling her more. And Ermanna says like, why are you telling me this now? And she goes, because I have to tell you what happens next. And she says, I came into your room one night to read you the Bible, and dad, like Papa, was standing next to you, and he was telling you how pretty you were. And I was afraid he was going to try and find love, you know, with you. And so we see in this flashback basically that Monsi goes over, grabs her little sister, and kind of runs away, leaving the dad there on Ermanna's bed. And then she says, so after that, I didn't trust him anymore. And so the next flashback scene immediately we see is in the kitchen. I don't know, whatever.
She grabs her sister and goes, your dinner's ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he goes in and he's like, are you guys not going to eat? And he's just really mean. He's just like an asshole. And they're standing there staring at him, and they're like, we're not hungry. And he's like, fine. And so he starts eating, and then quickly, he's been poisoned. She poisoned the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
And he sees it behind her, and he's like, you know, mad at her and angry, but he just starts bleeding.
So fast acting.
It's very fast.
Poison.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
An aggressive poison too.
I'm like, I need to know. Does that really work that fast? I don't know.
Or like, is that the reaction? You're just spewing blood.
Oh my God. It was so much blood. And so the little Monsi, you know, kind of grabs her little sister and just backs her away from the blood. And she says, basically, I hid his body within this house, and it was during the war. And so it was plausible for me to say he ran to go like fight in the war or something like that. And that he ran away and disappeared. Right. So nobody ever questioned
it. Just a comment here. Like, and the sister's reaction to this, I didn't understand. She was angry. Like, she gets angry that she lied to her this whole time, right? All of a sudden, she's like, she feels sorry for her. Mm-hmm. And then she gets angry about the fact that, I mean, who cares? Like, she killed her dad, who was just a monster.
Yeah.
And how can you be mad at her for, like, lying
about
that?
I think she was just like, why would you keep me in the dark about this? Like, maybe, because, I mean, her sister's been treating her in such a way. I mean, maybe just she would have been able to understand, or maybe they could have had a different relationship. I mean, she's 18 years
old now.
Yeah, but, like,
this traumatic news she just found out about her sister, obviously going through this traumatic experience to protect her this whole time. You know, I was like, there's no way. I'll be shocked by the first news.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't even care about the second one. Because I would automatically have been like, why didn't you just kill this fucker? You know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah, it was.
At
it
a
was
moment.
Like, it was, the movie was held back so many information. And at the end, it just unpacked it all.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God. Like,
so the scene cuts where, like, you know, Monsi's upset. I think Ermanna walks away, and I think she sneaks into Carlos's room, right? And and at this point, we weren't even sure if Carlos was alive.
Right.
So because, you know, he was trying to get away, and then the scene cut. So he is alive.
Yeah.
And so basically, Ermanna goes in to see him, and this is when
Doña, right?
No, he reveals he goes, where's Elisa? And I'm like, dude, you literally saw Monsi like cutting her ass up.
Yeah.
And Armana's like, I don't know. I haven't found.
Yeah, but when you were drugged, you might have.
Right.
Yeah.
So she goes, I don't know. I haven't seen her here yet. Like, I haven't seen her. And he tells her that, Elisa was pregnant with their child. And that was why he was running away. He got kind of, basically people were pressuring him into marrying her because he got her pregnant. Remember, it's the 1950s. And so he said, I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to be with her. And that's why I was running away. And, she's like, we're going to get out of here. So, Armana pulls the blankets back. And wah, creepy ass moment of the movie. His nasty ass gangrene leg has been perfectly stitched and sewn into the sheets. Yeah. I mean, come on. This is when the movie got badass for me. I was like, holy shit.
It was like,
actually, it got badass back when she was like chopping up Elisa's body. But that was a good little surprise there. And that was like, your ass is not going anywhere. You're my man now. Or something. Yeah. But so she's like, holy crap. She's like, you know what? We're not going to let her beat us. Don't panic. Because he's like freaking out. And she's like, please be quiet. And then she's like, we'll get out of this. She can't beat us. She walks away and you can tell there's a moment of like, I need to get my brain together. And she's in the hallway. She leaves Carlos. She shuts the bedroom door. And she does something with like the locks on what's her face's door. So that
she reverses it.
She reverses it, right. Yeah. And that comes into a play for sure.
She unscrews it and then
turns it.
She puts it on the outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, she walks away and then Monsi, of course, goes in to see Carlos at this point in time. And, she's talking to him and it, not before long, Doña Pori like shows up because she's coming to bring her niece to get her wedding dress, you know, she's get measurements for her wedding dress. Yeah. So Monsi like kind
and
of
more
panics.
Drugs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So Monsi kind of has this look of panic on her face and she says to Carlos, don't say a word, like don't, or I'll stitch your lips together. Yeah. Right. Just like I stitch your leg here. And so we're like, she's lost it, man. So, she goes and greets, Doña Puri and her niece at the door. And Doña says, I saw your sister in the hallway and I gave her the morphine. And she's like,
did you bring it out? Yeah. Yes, I brought it, but it's not here.
It's not here. She goes, I saw your sister and, she said she could just take it from me. So I gave it to her. And she's like, why would you give it to her? And she's like, it's okay. Like she said she'd bring it back because I saw her or whatever. And so anyway, they come into the house.
Her. Huh? She goes after it.
She goes after it?
Or she goes after, she leaves to go after, to get the drugs or something.
No.
Because she leaves Doña and her niece, whatever, in the room.
Hmm.
You remember? She leaves them. And
but Armana's not even in the house at this point in time. So I don't know where she thinks she's going
to
go.
Maybe she went to Carlos to tell him. Maybe this is when she tells him.
About because he starts yelling.
Yeah.
That's why she walks away. Yeah. Okay. So Carlos does start yelling. Yeah. Of course he would. I would too. Right. And Doña Puri's like, what the hell is that?
This is when she says, I'm going to sew your lips together. Keep it down. Right.
No. She already said that to him, but he does scream anyway. So she runs to go tell him to shut the fuck up. She beats his head up against the bed.
That's right. She punches it. Remember?
Punches shit out of him. Right.
Like,
she punches him.
Like four times.
Yeah. Oh my God. Knocks him out.
I was laughing at that point.
And
that
so Doña Puri and the niece are like snooping around. And I love.
Oh, they're not snooping. They're just like looking at the dress they're about to, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. They pull
this part's awesome,
the
though.
Fucking cloth back off of this dressmaker's doll. Dressmaker's.
I couldn't remember what that was called.
Surprise. Yeah. Dressmaker's doll is Elisa's body, headless body, torso. I mean, you guys know what a dressmaker's doll is, hopefully, but it's basically just the neck and like armless torso that you can put dresses on and necklaces or whatever the hell. Like I have one in my bedroom. I hang all my necklaces on, but it's what people put on, you know, put fabric on to be able to like build around.
Yeah,
body.
And they pulled the whole. Yeah, she pulled
and it's
all
her
off.
Boobs. I mean, it's like the whole just dead torso.
It looks so real too.
It
was just like, and then he like bounced.
Okay.
I was like,
all right. Of course, you noticed that part. And so then they're screaming. She's like, "What is this? Oh my God!" And they start freaking out. And they bump into a table. And at the same time, like something falls off of Elisa's head is sitting on her like dining table or whatever,
or
it is.
Like a sewing table,
sure,
or whatever,
like covered in cloth. And so like the head kind of rolls,
they're freaking out.
And I'm like, "Oh my God, this is like so." This became a horror movie for sure. Yeah. Like if it started as a drama or a thriller, this ended as to me a horror. This was awesome.
Yeah.
And of course, Monsi runs in and we already know what she's capable of. And she pretty much goes, I'm really sorry. Like, I had to protect my house and now I'm going to have to protect it again from you guys. Yeah. And Doña Puri's like, please, please don't. Oh, you know what? Listen.
I know people.
My husband is friends with all the police. We can help you cover this up. Whatever happened, and I'll get you more drugs. We'll get you help. Like, I'll never say a word. And she goes, it's too late for that. And she looks down in her like sewing kit and she sees two huge sewing needles and you don't see exactly what happens, but you can definitely, anticipate what happens. That whole scene was like friggin' awesome. And then after that, Irmana comes back home. Okay. And, this is when she's got two vials of morphine in her hands. And, so she has a plan now. So I think Irmana basically has figured out a plan in her head.
Yeah.
And it starts with her being like, look, I have your morphine. And she's walking slowly backwards to Carlos's room. And she's like, give that to me. And she takes one of the morphine bottles, the vials, and throws it on the ground. By the way, she did ask where Doña Puri was and her niece, and they both, and she goes, I think she said I had to do away with them. And so that's when I think her sister realizes like, there's no turning back. She's got to do something really major now, even with all the sad and tragic stories that she just told her. So yeah, she throws down the bottle of morphine on the ground and she only has one left in her hand. She's slowly backing her way into a bedroom and she's like, come another inch. And I'll drop this one too. And Monty's like, please don't. And so what she does is she kind of sets it on the nightstand of this bedroom that they back her themselves bedroom. Into. And Monty goes to grab it. And of course, this is the moment that, you know, Irmana set up so that she could.
Cross.
And she also took a bunch of crosses off of her wall. Like at some point she flipped out. Irmana kind of flips out after she realizes her sister's batshit crazy. And she takes all the crosses off of her wall in her bedroom. And when they walk into the room, I think her sister made a comment like, how dare you? And she goes, hold on. Do you think you're going to be forgiven by our God for what you've done, but I'm not going to be forgiven for taking crosses off my wall? And that's when I think she puts the morphine on the nightstand and she goes to grab it and she takes one of those crosses and beats her in the head with it, like badly. And so now she's bleeding all down the face, down her face, knocks her out. So she runs in and she grabs a pair of scissors from her sister's sewing kit or her own sewing kit. And she goes and she, this is so gross, but she goes into Carlos's room.
No, she locks her in, remember?
She locks her in that bedroom because she had turned the lock.
Yeah.
And so she's got time now to go cut the stitches out of the sheets that this guy, poor Carlos's leg is stitched to. And he's screaming and it's terrible. And she's like, it's okay. We've got this. And she's like getting him up off the bed. And she's like, can you put a little weight on? And he goes, I can do it. Let's go. So they start going down the hallway. They kind of fall down on the ground. She's trying to pull him. They're so close to the front door again. I mean, my God. And then boom, the door, she finally
he breaks it open.
Monty breaks the door open.
Free.
And this is like,
this part's awesome.
I know. Right. Oh my God. She's just staring at them like, how dare you try to get away from me? And she runs up and she just does the Kathy Bates, you know,
stomps on the knee, on his knee. And he just screams like, oh, and then she pulls the sheets.
Yeah, because covering, they didn't, right.
Not only does he step on it, he pulls the leg, the same leg, like, and he's just screaming in pain.
And I think like, point, what, like passes out from pain or something?
Yeah, and she's like, and then she's freaked out and she's like, she rolls over, starts to cry, like she's freaked out and they've lost or whatever, you know? And it's like, and then she comes over to her, right? She comes over to her sister and does it cradle her?
No.
At this point?
No. Mm-mm. Not yet. So, they are going at it. So basically what happens is she goes up, like you just said, Carlos is basically out and then she's attacking the sister and she's taking her head and banging it up against the wall. Okay. She like bangs it sideways up against the wall and her head's bleeding. The two of these girls are now in a fight for death. And, she grabs scissors and stabs her sister, Monty, in the stomach. So Irmana starts stabbing Monty in the stomach and Monty's looking at her.
Away, and then she stabs her. That's right.
And she goes, please don't kill me. Yeah. And she goes, Monty, I never wanted any of this. Like, I don't want this. And she starts crying and she's just sitting there covered in blood now. Teeth, everything dying. In blood, dying. And she goes, there's more to the story that I was telling you earlier. And so she goes, remember earlier, and we didn't tell you guys this yet, but basically the morning of her birthday, She makes a comment about how she's really sad that there's no pictures. And this is Ermana I'm talking about. Ermana makes a comment that there's no pictures of her with the mother because, of course, she died on the day that, that she was born. And she's jealous that there's all these pictures in the house of Monsi with the mother and that she had time with her. And so anyway, at this moment, she goes, "There's something I need to tell you." And she said, "I remember when you said you were upset that there's no pictures of you with mom." And she goes, "There is one. There's one with you and your mom." And she goes, "And I buried it basically where I buried Papa, in this house." And the scene just cuts to Ermana, like, going through and pulling this big dresser away from a wall where I guess she's probably now told her, we infer that Monsi's told her where the dad's buried. And she pulls it up against the wall, and there's, I think, what looks like a patched up old fireplace.
Yeah.
And so she pulls this kind of panel away, and there's a lantern inside, and she turns on the lantern.
That was weird, right? There was a lantern in there?
No, you know why? Because there were flowers in there too. So clearly at some point, the younger sister is probably going in and kind of, putting flowers in there like it was a cemetery.
The cemetery comment was him.
He definitely said you didn't go and see your mom at the cemetery, I think. But whatever.
At this point, yeah.
It's clearly a part of the religion because to go and pay your respects.
Yeah, but he knows that he can't leave the house.
Right. She's definitely going and seeing his body, obviously, because there's flowers in there.
Right. So I think that's what he was talking about. But
whatever. It was the mom's birthday. It would have been for that. I'm telling you. So she's been keeping him in here, and it's definitely like an old, decrepit body. And the daughter, or the Ermana, like, gasps. And she sees this little thing next to the body, and she opens it up, and there's this picture. And oh, dun, dun, dun. It's her and her mother. But it's Monsi. It's a picture of a baby in Monsi's arms. And so, these two girls are not sisters. Monsi had a baby.
Yeah.
And so, pretty sad reveal here. And because she now realizes this is her mother and not just a crazy sister, this is when it just gets so friggin' sad. It's like she was just killing her. And stabbing her, and now she comes out with this, like, I don't know, compassion and care, and she sits down, and this is when Ermana, now we know, is basically what, Iha, like her daughter, she cradles her mother, and she's looking at her, and she just starts singing her, like, this beautiful song, and I think it's a song about a seamstress, I want to say, and there was just, it was just all these very, like, beautiful words and sentiments, and it's so sad. And basically now this person that she just realized is really her mother is dying in her arms.
Well, we forgot someone important, but she drags Carlos out in the hallway, right?
No, not yet. Literally, she cradles her, then she gets up and she drags him out in the hallway. Promise.
Okay, because the door closes.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay,
and then she drags, right?
So she drags Carlos out of the house.
I'm getting all the orders wrong.
You're killing me, this one. Okay, so she drags him out, and she hugs him, and she's, like, very compassionately caressing his head and holding him, and she's like, "I told you we'd beat her. Like, I told you we'd make it out of here, whatever, and that I'd save you." And he's like, I realized I never knew your name until now. And like, here we as the audience, we don't know her name either. And he goes, "It's beautiful," which was just so sweet. And she kisses him on the lips, and it's just this, and he is not well. I mean, he looks like he's on his last string. I mean, but they kiss, and she very kind of, like, gently puts his head down on the ground, and she gets up, and she starts walking back into the house, and she opens up the door, and she turns around and looks at him, and we're looking at her, and the door closes.
That's how it ends.
And that's the end. And at this point, when that slow, move from her going back into the house and the door is about to close is happening, we're hearing a narration. And we're hearing a narration that describes basically the name of the movie, that being The Shrew's Nest. And I didn't really write much of it down, but basically it's a whole description about what shrews are and how they dig pathways, like, underground, where they keep themselves basically alone, but that sometimes they can kind of come up and get their prey with venom. Like, some of them have venom.
Some are poisonous.
Yeah, some of them are venomous and can kind of capture prey. And that most of the time they go and they bury themselves under the ground.
They're like the type of mole.
Yeah, and that they're alone. And that's when the door shuts, is when that ends. So, you know, what happens? Does she become the next person that kind of locks herself away and hides all of this? I doubt it. I have no idea how to interpret why she wouldn't have like gone and tried to like get the cops. And I don't know why she would have gone in the door, the house, and shut the door.
Well, I think that sort of thing, you know, symbolizes that she becomes like her mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking like, there's no way she's gonna get away with this. You can't like just
well,
like
she's let, not. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you know what I mean. Like she becomes, she can I guess blame it on her mother.
Well, first of all, if Carlos stays alive, then he can tell everything that happened. I mean, she really needs him.
I think he's dying. There's no way. It was days, or it might even be weeks, because she tells Donia to come back in a couple of weeks for the dress.
Oh no, he's been here for weeks.
Yeah, I mean.
When the cops came in, they said something, and Elisa goes, "No, you don't understand. He's not even where he, you know, like he never even ended up in the wherever
I
location
took it
he was
it,
supposed
he,
to travel
he died.
To."
I mean, he does get out of the house, but he dies outside.
You think?
Like, yeah, there's no way he survives that.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, what's the point of dragging him out then and making?
Because
him
she said
too?
She promised him that you get out of the house.
I'm gonna go ahead and believe he stays alive.
Happy ending.
Carlos is a good man. Okay.
Kind of a D-bag, eh?
No.
He was gonna run.
Oh, you're right.
She was like, "I'm not marrying her. I don't care if it's my baby." Tracy's like, "Oh, he's a good man."
Oh my god. Okay. I fell for it.
Yeah, you did. You fell for his charm.
How did I forget these terrible things already? Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay, he's such a fucking die. Carlos die.
Yeah, he dies. He dies. It's for me, like
But is the sister gonna like go inside and kill herself or is she gonna do? I mean, what would you do?
I mean,
your life is gone.
I know.
Come on.
And rationally, in real life, yeah, that's what's going to happen, right? But like the way they were describing as she was closing the door of the animal shoes, like their tendencies, like is that she's going to, this is her house now. Like she's going
to
live there.
Yeah, but
herself.
To your point, like you said, I mean, the fact that Carlos's body dead or alive, like it's someone's going to find it. The cops are going to come back and be like, "Where did Elisa go?" Because the cops are still in the building because this all happened, you know, on the same day.
I know.
This is all going to get found.
But just like Don't Breathe. Where they find their own man, and then they
right.
find the other room. It's like, we just gotta...
Yeah, hold on. You can't give away a movie we haven't... We did not give away anything just now. You cannot understand what he just said. But there were some clunky parts in Don't Breathe, too. Good movie, but definitely had some questionable, like, come on. But yeah, okay, well, whatever. I really enjoyed this movie. Like, a lot.
Me too.
It was really good.
Although that I've gotten orders of the certain scenes, mixed up as we're telling
this. Oh my god, seriously, we cannot do that again.
but it was good. I liked it a lot.
Oh gosh, it was like it was just a total. Oh,
we totally forgot to mention
that finally, like when Ermana comes back in the house and she's like, "Where's Doña Puri?" And like the niece, and she goes, "You know, I had to do away with them." At some point, when all the shit starts hitting the fan, she does find their bodies, and there's like, it was so great. It was like one sewing needle was in the ear of the niece, and then the other one was like, in the mouth. I'm sorry. It was like straight through the mouth and like through the back of the throat. Yeah. And then the other one was through the temple. That's what it was, through Doña Puri's temple, which was like crazy. Oh my God. So you can just imagine what was going on in the room at that moment in time, but it was good. I mean,
some of those gory scenes sort of, offset the horrible story that she tells, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you as a viewer, you go back and forth. You're like, you're in this battle of,
it's like, I think
that you care about her, that you don't care about her.
It's insane. Yeah.
How can you care about somebody who's willing to take a life like this? You know, that is definitely not what Jesus would do. So anyway, good job on the choice of this movie.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Shudder, for putting it out.
For making this an exclusive.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Right on the homepage. Yeah, but that was good.
It was. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So what's next? Ba-ba-da-da.
Yeah.
First horror experience.
Listener
mail. So if you've listened to the past couple of episodes, we've had listeners write in their first horror experience. And you can do the same by writing us at onefinalscare@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And we'll read one as we've been doing at the end of every episode. And so we have one this week. I'm going to read it.
Yeah. Who's it from?
It's from Jeff M.
Yeah.
From
where?
Waldorf, Maryland.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. A little hole.
Very interesting.
Might also be where I'm from. Dear One Final Scare, first, I wanted to say that I love the show. Thank you, Jeff. Finally, a review podcast that isn't annoying to listen to. First of all, we're not going to put any awesome. Other podcast
He hasn't
down.
Listened to this episode.
Right. He hasn't listened to this one yet. You might take that back. Yeah. I wanted to share my first horror movie memory with you guys. Growing up in an area without cable TV really caused... It's also the time period, I'm sure. But growing up... without cable TV really caused me to be what some would consider a late bloomer to the horror genre. Horror films were never shown on network television during the early 1990s. And if it was horribly edited for TV. Totally agree. However, being invited to a friend's B-Day party allowed to push past my cinematic barrier and feast my eyes on...
cinematic barrier.
Jason Goes to Hell. Oh, man. I feel so bad for you right now.
Oh, my God. That's just... Listeners, that was his first movie.
But listen.
That was like the ninth Jason movie.
It served a purpose, clearly. Needless to say, the gore, violence, cursing, and nudity set a high standard for my teenage self for future horror movies. It didn't matter how bad the movie was, but if there was the promise of blood and some female nudity, then it was a must-see film for years to come.
Hey, you know what? That's what Friday the 13th movie was about, right? It was like... I think part of it was teenagers like getting to see movies, and there was an excuse like, "Hey, mom, we're gonna go watch this scary slasher flick."
Yeah,
yeah,
and naked people.
Yeah, naked people.
And anyway, so Jeff ends with, "Keep up the good work on your podcast, and I look forward to hearing much more." Thank you, Jeff. We really appreciate it. We look forward to
What was your first Friday the 13th movie? Which one? Did you watch it in order? I didn't.
I believe I did.
Wow, you watched the first one?
I believe I did.
Okay. I saw the first one later, but yeah. I went 3, 4, and then 1, 2.
Three. I remember watching 3, and I remember being, because it's a 3D version. Yeah. If you have the glasses.
Oh, I didn't watch the 3D, yeah.
Yeah. It's like stupid stuff, though. It's like at one point somebody's yo-yoing, and like the yo-yo comes down in your face. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I watched them in order, though. But I do really remember watching.
And then the Corey Feldman one, right? When he's like.
Yeah, that's like number 4.
Uh-huh. So, on Shudder, mm-hmm. I saw that there was a documentary about Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
It's 400 minutes long.
What?
Yeah.
Because there's so much to cover. I mean, there's so many scenes you could
and
play.
All the reviews like, this is really long and extensive documentary.
I wonder if I watched that. I don't know, but I...
400 minutes.
Wow. I mean, there's how many movies in the...
10?
In the
last
franchise?
One was 10, right? Jason X?
No, I bet there were more than that. I bet there are more than that. I mean, with like...
Freddy versus Jason.
Yep, all of those.
I'm counting those things as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was tons. I bet you they show like every death scene, which would be pretty cool if they did, to revisit all of those back to back without the rest of the movie, the filler. I went back a couple Halloweens ago and watched I binged on all of them. And I like revisited all of them. Yeah. And
I'm just so sick of slasher flicks.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, it was also around Halloween time, so I get it. Every year, like, I kind of pick one of the, you know, one of the groups of movies, and I kind of go through and I binge watch all of them.
I've actually never saw Jason X.
You never
That's
seen?
That's the one in Jason. Never seen? Never seen
Saw?
I'm still learning English.
Oh, my God.
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Which one?
Jason X? That's the one in space, right? Jason in space?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I don't really know him by numbers, I guess. But yeah, so I rewatched them all. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Evil gets an upgrade.
So bad.
Yeah, the one that he's talking about, Jason Goes to Hell. That one was like
before.
Wasn't that one where like there was like a creature or something that was kind of like going in and putting Jason's kind of spirit into different bodies? I'm pretty sure that was Jason Goes to Hell.
Right, there's a lot more.
This
was 2014.
Yeah.
Jason Xmas.
Oh my God. I've never seen that one. I've never seen it. I'm probably sure we're not missing much, but they got wacky. You know which one I really loved? I might have, I don't know if it was like 5 or 6, but it was
Jason Goes to Hell was like supposed to be the last movie at the time. It was the one that said the final Friday.
Yeah. I mean, they were always like the last, yeah. The final, whatever. But the one where the girl had, what's it called? Mental powers. Do you remember that one? She was blonde. She basically like accidentally kills her father in a fit of rage because, she's so mad at him. And she starts like wishing the dock that he's standing on would break because she's out in a boat and the dad's like, come back in
is
as a little girl.
Crystal Lake?
Yeah. And it's on Crystal Lake, of course. And, the bridge falls and the dad dies and falls to the bottom of the lake. And then basically when she comes back with her mom and her therapist, and her therapist is the dude that plays Bernie at Weekend at Bernie's, which is amazing. But they come back years later as she is an adult to basically get her through her mental anguish, you know, that she's lived with her whole life for basically killing her father.
Yeah.
And she's standing out on the dock. And I think because she's missing her dad so much, she's basically like looking down at the water and she's like wishing her dad was back. And because she does that, she wishes Jason, who in the last movie, someone had strapped chains to him and like brought him down, you know, held him down. Yeah. So like she wishes him back to life in a way instead of her dad because her dad's not down there anymore. And he comes up out of the thing. Bad. That one was like, I remember watching that when I was little and loving that one.
So bad.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing this. So that guy from WWE, Kane, he played Jason in a lot of these movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big guy.
All right. Well, now we're just running the gamut of things. We're just going to start Googling and stay on all night. Just kidding.
Well, hey, thanks for sticking around listening to us. This is Minky.
We hope that this episode wasn't as painful as it seemed to have as we went through it.
We'll edit it.
No, we won't. Yeah. But we hope that you enjoyed. Oh, he's giving me the wink eye. We'll edit it. We won't. We hope you enjoyed the movie.
Yeah, this time, Tracy took so many notes. I have to commend her for talking most of the time today.
Well, it's a good thing I did because otherwise we would have told you a whole different movie.
Oh, that's not true. But thanks for sticking around again and listening to us.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing to us. We appreciate every one of you.
And we have an amazing movie for episode 6. Just so stay tuned.
Awesome. I don't know if I'm aware of it yet.
I'm going to surprise you. Surprise movie.
Surprise.
Surprise.
All right.
Surprise.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye, guys.